Estás escuchando Aftersight. Esta grabación está destinada solamente para personas ciegas y con baja visión.
La programación regular de este podcast no está disponible en este momento. Esperamos que disfrute de esta transmisión especial de AINC.
And the rest of the team in London, goodbye.
KGNU FM 88.5 Boulder. KGNU 1390 Denver.
Support comes from Wildfire Partners, Boulder County's wildfire mitigation program. More information about programs and rebates to help Boulder County residents reduce wildfire risk can be found at wildfirepartners.org.
The struggle continues.
Imagine sharing your photos, contacts, and even personal messages with a complete stranger. And you don't even know about it. That stranger is called Pegasus.
The Pegasus spyware software is at the heart of several scandals. Clients of the Israeli firm had used the program against journalists, activists, and politicians.
Welcome to La Lucha Ziga. The struggle continues. A bi-weekly radio magazine with a grassroots perspective on the news of Latin America and the Caribbean.
This show was produced on November 4, 2024.
A program is dedicated to giving a voice to our compañeras and compañeros who are struggling for social justice and equality.
These tools have also enabled foreign governments to conduct transnational repression outside of their sovereign borders to silence dissent.
In the news this week.
On the night of October 30th, dozens of Mexican journalists rallied at the Ángel de Independencia in downtown Mexico City to demand justice for the 183 Palestinian media workers who have been killed by the Israeli armed forces in Gaza and to demand a ceasefire. Many of the journalists wore Day of the Dead masks and carried Palestinian flags along with placards, picket signs, and photographs of victims. The journalists' demonstration also commemorated Mexican journalist Mauricio Cruz Solis, who was murdered in the southern Mexican state of Michoacán one day earlier, on October 29th. But the October 30th murder of journalist Patricia Ramirez González in the western state of Colima had not yet been widely reported. We'll report on both of those killings later in the show. On tonight's program, we'll report on the first month of the Claudia Sheinbaum presidency as surging violence in Mexico challenges the new president's power and authority. We'll also report on the recently concluded UN Global Conference that took place in Colombia in late October. And we'll feature an in-depth report on a new scandal regarding the now notorious Pegasus spyware in Colombia, where the Israeli NSO company that built and sells the spyware is accused of money laundering, as well as in Mexico, which was the first buyer of the Pegasus product.
There have been four high-profile assassinations during the first 4 weeks of the presidency of newly inaugurated Claudia Sheinbaum, who took office on October 1st. President Sheinbaum has pledged to follow the policies of her predecessor and mentor, former President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, who refused to directly confront the criminal cartels, preferring to promote social development programs in a policy that he called abrazos, no balazos, which means hugs, not gunfire, which failed to significantly reduce violence during the 6 years of his presidency. The four assassinations during the first month of the Sheinbaum presidency included a female defense lawyer in Mexico City, an indigenous Tzotzil Catholic priest in the southeastern Mexican state of Chiapas, a 25-year-old journalist in the central western coastal state of Michoacán, and a 39-year-old reporter in the western coastal state of Colima.
The most recent killing took place in the afternoon of October 30th. When Patricia Ramirez Gonzalez was shot to death by an unknown gunman while she was cooking in the small restaurant that she owned in a middle-class neighborhood of the city. Ramirez Gonzalez, who is better known as Patti Bunbury, was an entertainment reporter who specialized in interviews with popular musical groups.
There were no reports of Ramirez Gonzalez having been threatened before her murder. Nevertheless, the International Committee to Protect Journalists urged the authorities to investigate whether her killing was related to her work as a reporter. One day earlier, on October 29th, in the city of Uruapan, in the state of Michoacán, a well-known local journalist, Mauricio Cruz Solis, was shot at least four times by unidentified gunmen around 10 at night across the street from the main square in the historic city center. Cruz Solis, who was the director of the Minuto por Minuto news show, was shot a few minutes after completing a remote television broadcast in which he had interviewed the city's mayor about a fire which destroyed dozens of vendors' shops in the Mercado Tariacuri, a large indoor marketplace in the heart of the city. In addition to directing Minute by Minute, as the news portal would be known in English, Cruz Solis hosted a news program on Uruapan's Radio Rama radio station where he was news director. Cruz Solis, who began working in journalism when he was 17, had previously spent 8 years as a reporter for the ABC de Michoacán and La Opinión de Michoacán newspapers. Investigators were reviewing surveillance footage from the businesses in the commercial district to try to identify those responsible for his killing.
No suspects have been identified in the Cruz Solis killing. Five journalists have been murdered in the Uruapan municipality in the last 15 years. At least 36 journalists were reportedly murdered in Mexico during the 6 years of the Andrés Manuel López Obrador presidency, which began in 2018, an average of one journalist killed every 2 months.
A well-known indigenous Tzotzil Maya Catholic priest and human rights advocate, Marcelo Perez, was shot to death as he left a parish church in the city of San Cristóbal de las Casas in the southern state of Chiapas after saying Mass on Sunday, October 20th. The UN Human Rights Office in Mexico said that Reverend Perez was the seventh human rights activist killed in Mexico so far in 2024. The indigenous Catholic priest was well known for his work in defense of the region's indigenous communities and for his advocacy for the rights of the peasant farming families who are frequently caught between rival criminal groups. Mexico's southern border region has become increasingly violent amid the criminals' competition for control of key smuggling routes. Amid an outpouring of repudiation from domestic groups and individuals, as well as from foreign governments and organizations, the European Union described the death of Marcelo Perez as proof of the violence and of the intimidation that civil and human rights defenders face in Mexico. In a joint statement, the European Union and the Mexico City embassies of Norway and of Switzerland expressed their grave concern for the rampant impunity in Mexico for crimes such as the murder of journalists and of social justice advocates.
The Mexican chapter of the Global Indigenous Peoples' Rights International Advocacy Group noted that Marcelo Perez had been granted special protective measures by the Inter-American Human Rights Commission in 2015 due to constant threats and harassment, but the Mexican government obviously failed to provide an adequate level of protection. The San Cristobal-based Fray Bartolomé de las Casas Human Rights Center issued a statement saying, quote, "For years, we insisted that the Mexican government should address the threats and aggressions against Father Marcelo, but they never implemented measures to guarantee his well-being." End quote.
2,000 persons attended the funeral for 50-year-old Perez in his hometown of San Andrés La Enzar, some 10 miles north of San Cristóbal de las Casas. State prosecutors announced that they had detained a man suspected of carrying out the killing, but they did not reveal his identity or provide a possible motive in the killing of the priest who had a long history of death threats. According to an October 22nd report by the Associated Press, the fact that federal prosecutors had taken over the case suggested that they suspect that organized crime was involved in the killing. For the last 2 years, the Sinaloa and Jalisco cartels have engaged in bloody turf battles in Chiapas in which entire families have been massacred. Hundreds of Chiapas residents, in their majority impoverished subsistence farmers, have fled for their safety to towns and cities in other parts of Chiapas or to neighboring Guatemala. The surge in criminal activities in many parts of Mexico is a direct challenge to the authority of the new president. In addition, her administration has been tainted by the deaths of six migrants who were killed the day of Sheinbaum's inauguration, on October 1st, when two Mexican soldiers opened fire on a pickup truck that they allege had evaded a military patrol in Chiapas near the Guatemalan border.
According to the Army, the speeding pickup, which was carrying 33 suspected migrants, was accompanied by two other vehicles that the Army said resembles those used by local criminal groups. 12 persons were injured in the incident, in addition to the six who were killed. The dead victims were from Egypt, El Salvador, and Peru. The two soldiers who opened fire on the group of unarmed civilians were removed from their posts and turned over to prosecutors.
The 2024 United Nations Biodiversity Conference took place in the western Colombian city of Cali from the 21st of October until the 1st of November. It was the 16th conference of the parties to the UN Convention of Biological Diversity, but instead of creating confusion with the similarly named 24th Climate Change Conference of Parties, we'll refer to the recent Biodiversity Conference of Parties as the 2024 UN Biodiversity Conference. The U.S. has signed the UN Convention on Biological Diversity, but it has not ratified the treaty because ratification requires a two-thirds majority in the U.S. Senate, where it is being blocked by Republican senators. The Colombian summit convened 195 countries and the European Union, which has the status of a member nation, raising the total number of members of the UN Biodiversity Convention to 196. Environmental justice and human rights were two of the major issues at the conference that was attended by over 2,000 government delegates, environmental groups, small farmers' federations, indigenous organizations, and environmental researchers from around the globe. At the opening session of the UN Biodiversity Conference, Colombian President Gustavo Petro said that the world cannot wait for it to be profitable to save nature and that market forces will not save humans, adding that the value of life should be placed over financial profits. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres told the conference that there can be no winners in what he described as the war that the industrialized world is waging against nature.
The word war is especially significant in Colombia, where the conference was hosted, and throughout Latin America, the region which in recent years has had the highest number of killings of environmental defenders in the world. The director of the Anti-Organized Crime Agency of the Organization of American States, Gaston Schulmeister, said that Latin America and the Caribbean comprise one of the most biodiverse regions in the world, and it is in those regions that most of the environmental crimes by organized criminal groups take place.
According to the 2024 Global Witness Annual Report on Violence Against Environmental Activism, 196 environmentalists and activists around the world had been murdered in 2023. Colombia, with 79 killings, had the most murders of environmentalists for the second year in a row. Brazil was in second place with 25 killings, while Mexico and Honduras were tied for third place with 18 killings each. The Global Witness report found that organized criminal groups perpetrated about half of the murders of environmental defenders in Colombia in 2023. The Global Witness report also found that about half of the activists killed in Colombia were indigenous, with many others being either members of Afro-descendant communities or small farmers.
The topics discussed at the UN Biodiversity Conference included reducing threats to biodiversity, developing popular sustainable environmental projects, and implementing initiatives to create the political will to directly confront the issues that affect biodiversity. The conference participants discussed strategies and sought to adopt policies that will help to achieve the goals of the Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework, which is better known as the Paris Agreement because it was formally signed in the French capital.
The U.S. was an original member of the Paris Agreement, but the Trump administration pulled the U.S. out of the agreement in 2020, while the Biden administration rejoined the Paris Agreement in 2021. The 16th UN Biodiversity Conference disappointed many environmental campaigners with what they feel is an inadequate declaration on environmental destruction that did not mention the global commitment to transition away from fossil fuels that was agreed to at last year's COP28 UN Climate Change Conference in Dubai.
In a preliminary draft of the resolution, Colombia had proposed replicating the COP28 fossil fuel language, which says that the UN members' biodiversity goals would be impossible to achieve without transitioning away from fossil fuels. Observers told reporters that there had been little opposition to the facilitators of the draft document, Sweden and China, removing references to fossil fuels at a behind-closed-doors negotiating session.
The Western Amazon Program Director for Amazon Watch, Rafael Ortmer, said that it was extremely disappointing that there is not an international consensus over something that is so obvious as the need to stop using fossil fuels, especially in delicate ecosystems like the Amazon. On October 29th, Colombia announced that it had formed a coalition with 20 other countries who were committed to prioritizing environmental restoration and preservation, as leaders warned that the rapid destruction of the environment risks humanity's own extinction. We have searched thoroughly and cannot find a listing of the 20 nations. According to the Reuters News Service, the Colombian-led coalition is composed of countries from four continents, among them Chile, Mexico, Sweden, and Uganda, but none from the Asian Pacific region.
The coalition is open to countries that agree to a set of principles that include funding conservation efforts and sustainable development projects while cooperating internationally and motivating their societies to preserve natural environments. The Paris Agreement's goals include raising $200 billion annually with the goal of preserving natural environments on 30% of the Earth by the year 2030. But the amount that was actually committed reportedly falls far short of the hundreds of billions of dollars needed.
Tuned into La Lucha Sigue, a biweekly radio magazine of Latin American and Caribbean news from a grassroots perspective. For the rest of tonight's program, we'll report on controversies in Colombia and in Mexico regarding the Pegasus spyware, which was developed by the Israeli NSO group and which is marketed as a cyber weapon for governments to use against criminals, but which has become notorious for its use in illicit domestic spying by corrupt governments. Numerous exposés have revealed that Pegasus has been used to monitor journalists, activists, and political figures, while the ease with which it infects targeted devices makes it especially dangerous. Although Mexico is the largest user of Pegasus in the world, the spyware has become a hot-button issue in Colombia after recent revelations that the 2018 through 2022 Iván Duque administration had paid at least $11 million in cash to the NSO group to acquire Pegasus software. The revelations contradict previous statements by Duque administration officials in which they claimed that his administration had no business dealings with the NSO group.
On October 30th, Colombian Defense Minister Iván Velásquez told reporters that there is no evidence to suggest that the Israeli-made Pegasus spyware continues to be used in Colombia. 69-year-old Velasquez, who was born in the Colombian city of Medellin, was a prosecutor who investigated human rights abuses in Colombia before he was appointed by then UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to head the Guatemalan Anti-Corruption Commission in 2013.
Velasquez was forced to leave Guatemala after the Anti-Corruption Commission was unilaterally disbanded by conservative Guatemalan President Jimmy Morales in 2019. Velasquez, who was named defense minister by Colombian President Gustavo Petro in 2022, said that the Pegasus software had apparently been scrubbed from Colombian government computer systems because investigators cannot find traces of the app on any government devices. The defense minister spoke to the media after he testified at a Senate Intelligence Oversight Committee hearing on the illegal use of Pegasus by previous Colombian governments, in particular by the Duque administration during anti-government protests in 2021. 1 week earlier, on October 22nd, Colombian President Petro accused the security director of the Israeli NSO group military contractor of illegally removing $11 million in cash from Colombia in 2021 and of taking it to Israel. President Petro made the accusations 2 days after Colombian news media published the flight plans of the airplanes that flew the NSO officials from Israel to Colombia. President Petro said that the newly uncovered documents prove that Israeli citizens entered Colombia illegally in 2021 and that they flew from Colombia to Tel Aviv in a money laundering operation in which a total of $11 million in cash was flown out of Colombia on two flights.
According to Petro, the cash was payment by Duque administration officials for military-grade Pegasus spyware. Petrel made the accusations after Israel's Financial Intelligence Unit documented that, in 2021, $11 million had been deposited in the NSO Group's bank account for the Duque administration's purchase of Pegasus. The spyware, which can be downloaded to virtually any cell phone to which the Pegasus user has the number, has been used to hack the devices of dissidents, journalists, and human rights activists to access all of the device's contents, to locate the phone's position in real time, and to surreptitiously activate its camera and microphone.
According to the Colombian Law on Intelligence and Counterintelligence, any monitoring of telephone lines or of digital devices requires a judge's order that is based on probable cause. The Israeli newspaper Haaretz reported in July that NSO Group officials had been informed that the money with which the Duque administration bought the Pegasus software had been seized from drug cartels. The Israeli spyware controversy took on a grim aspect in mid-September when an Israeli citizen, Yariv Bokor, was found dead in a luxurious apartment in a wealthy section of Medellin, Colombia's second largest city. 49-year-old Bokor was a computer systems engineer who had lived in Colombia for a decade and who worked for the Canada-based Sandvine Corporation, which provides digital tools for mass monitoring of the internet, for targeting political actors for surveillance, and for blocking selected news stories.
Bokor had been missing for 2 days when concerned relatives found his body in a bathroom that was described in local news reports as blood-spattered and littered with broken glass. Bokor's relatives reportedly said that he died of natural causes, but police are investigating reports of shouting coming from his apartment on the day he was last seen alive and of signs of struggle in the bathroom where Bokor's body was found.
You're listening to Latin American and Caribbean news on La Lucha Sigue, produced at KGNU. We'll conclude tonight's show with the second half of our report on the Israeli-made Pegasus spyware by examining its use in Mexico and on the spyware maker's efforts to be removed from a U.S. government human rights blacklist. The NSO Group is also in the news in the United States, where the spyware maker has intensified its efforts to lobby members of Congress to reverse its blacklisting by the U.S. government. The NSO Group has been on the U.S. Department of Commerce blacklist since November of 2021 due to its role in human rights abuses. On October 21st, the investigative news portal The Intercept reported that the NSO Group is lobbying mostly Republican members of Congress to get it off the government blacklist. The report by The Intercept was based on official documents including campaign finance reports and on documents filed with the Foreign Agents Registrations Act, which show that NSO has spent nearly $2 million to lobby Congress in the first 9 months of 2024.
According to The Intercept, the Republican congressman from Texas, Pete Sessions, has met with NSO lobbyists at least 8 times between February and July. On the same day in July that lobbyists for the NSO group met with Representative Sessions, one of the lobbying firm's lawyers, former Texas Republican Congressman Greg Laughlin, personally donated $1,000 to the Pete Sessions for Congress campaign committee.
Former Congressman Laughlin, who is employed by the Washington, D.C.-based law firm Pillsbury Winthrop Shaw & Pittman, and who is a registered lobbyist for the NSO Group, donated to the campaigns of other Texas Republicans whom NSO lobbied, including Representative Dan Crenshaw. The NSO Group has reportedly contracted 2 other lobbying firms, one in Los Angeles and a second firm in Washington, D.C., both of whom have also concentrated on lobbying Republican representatives. The director of the Democratizing Foreign Policy Program at the Washington, D.C.-based Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, Ben Freeman, told The Intercept that lobbyists regularly make campaign contributions to members of Congress whom they have contacted on behalf of foreign interests. The Quincy Institute's Freeman said, quote, "Even if that contribution occurs on the exact same day that the lobbying meeting takes place, it's perfectly legal," end quote.
In 2021, the New York Times reported that Mexico was the NSO's first client for Pegasus and its biggest buyer, spending over $60 million on the digital spyware. The New York Times report was based on interviews, official documents, and forensic tests of hacked phones, found that Mexico has targeted more cell phones with the spyware than any other government in the world.
Pegasus, which was first bought by the Mexican Army during the Felipe Calderón presidency in 2011, was also bought by the Mexican Attorney General's office and by the National Intelligence Service, the Mexican equivalent of the FBI, at the beginning of the Enrique Peña Nieto presidency in 2012. In 2017, the New York Times, in collaboration with the Mexico-based Aristegui News Service, published an exposé of the Peña Nieto administration's use of the spyware to monitor the activities of reporters, of social justice advocates, and of human rights lawyers, while the Mexican armed forces claimed that they had stopped using Pegasus in 2013. But, according to the New York Times, a group of independent experts investigating the 2014 disappearance of 43 student teachers from the Ayotzinapa Teachers College found that the military had been using Pegasus at the time of the incident and that it was monitoring the phones of the perpetrators of the crime on the night of the events. The independent experts, who were investigating the mass disappearance on behalf of the victims' families, said that it was not clear why the military was spying on those particular individuals, but that they were certain that the intelligence was not used in the search for the 43 missing young men.
When President Andrés Manuel López Obrador took office in 2018, he promised to stop what he called illegal spying by the two previous administrations. According to a 2023 report by the New York Times, the Citizen Lab, a digital forensic group based at the University of Toronto, found that the spyware was still being used against journalists, human rights defenders, and at least one opposition politician as of the second half of 2022, 4 years after López Obrador took office.
The Citizen Lab found Pegasus on the cell phones of two of the country's leading human rights attorneys, both of whom are members of the legal team representing the victims of the presumed massacre. The Citizen Lab found that the two lawyers were repeatedly targeted by Pegasus at the same time that new allegations about the military's role in the Ayotzinapa disappearance were being made public. One of the targets of the spyware, Santiago Aguirre, is executive director of the Miguel Agustín Pro Juárez Human Rights Center. Citizen Lab found that Aguirre had previously been targeted with Pegasus during the Peña Nieto administration. Aguirre told the New York Times that both he and the Pro Juárez Human Rights Center's lead international advocate, Maria Luisa Aguilar, had both received emails from the Apple Corporation in December of 2022 warning them that their phones had been hacked. The email said, quote, "Apple believes that you are being targeted by state-sponsored attackers who are trying to remotely compromise the iPhone associated with your Apple ID. These attackers are likely targeting you individually because of who you are or what you do," end quote.
This show was produced on November 4th, 2024.
We'd like to thank Pioneer and Nancy Zulo for production assistance.
Our host was Dan Rizzo.
Tonight's engineer and reader was Leo Grieb-Ruiz.
Our news sources included The Intercept, Columbia Report, El País, the Reuters News Service, the Climate Change News, La Prensa Rural, the Telesur News Service, the EFET News Service, La Jornada, El Universal, the Associated Press, Desinformémonos, and Animal Político.
Tune in next week for Deliver Exchange.
If you think you're the one controlling your phone, think again.
Spyware like Pegasus threatens our privacy and civil liberties.
It's easily installed, almost impossible to detect, and even harder to get rid of. Researchers say the malware can survive even a factory reset.
I'm Arjun Markey. Thanks for listening.
A contribution to KGNU through a charitable IRA rollover brings benefits to KGNU and the donor. However, this type of gift must be made before December 31st to count for this tax year. If you'd like more information about this tax advantage type of gift, contact your financial advisor or the KGNU membership department at 303-449-4885.